I'd like to read from the book of the Acts, chapter 27. Just a couple of verses there. The background, as you know, is the journey across the Mediterranean Sea, in which Luke had a part with the group in which Paul was being taken to Italy by a Roman centurion. And they were moored in a certain place. But in verse 13, we read that when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. I'd like to balance that out with a verse of four words found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In which the Apostle Paul sent word to the saints there at Thessalonica, brethren, pray for us. The winds have changed since the ship left its mooring. It was a soft, southerly, comfortable, and apparently advantageous wind. But they had not very long been at sea when the wind changed and it became a veritable gale. And you know the end of the story, which ended in disaster for the ship. Had they had modern communications such as we have in our vessels today, ship-to-shore telephones or radio or wireless, no doubt the beloved physician and his friend Paul would have gotten word back to the mainland, brethren, pray for us. My burden this afternoon, beloved in Christ, is the fact that the winds are changing. The political winds are changing all over the world. Some of us have lived most of this century so far, and we have seen thrones and dominions collapse. We have seen czarist-type governments brought to naught. We have seen dictators humbled and humiliated. And which of us here today would have even dared to suggest that two weeks ago, the things that we have seen on our newscasts in the last week, the winds of political change are blowing. It is affecting the work of the gospel in other lands. Some of our missionaries are having a difficult time renewing or getting new visas. And the requests come in constantly. Brethren, pray for us. The winds of financial change and economic change are blowing. And in some countries, the difficulty of inflation, which has reached over 1,000%, has caused so much difficulty for the average man to put food on his table for his family that he has hardly any time to consider spiritual verities. And our beloved friends who have gone out as missionaries send back the call, brethren, pray for us. The winds of social change have blown and are blowing. In our third world countries today, our missionaries are concerned about their own health because of the great epidemics of AIDS that sweep across the country. And the message comes back day after day, brethren, pray for us. Who of us here in America would have even guessed that a decade ago we would ever see 15,000, 20,000, 25,000 sexual deviates, homosexuals and lesbians, openly avowing their wicked life and demanding their rights, which if they received, they would be stoned to death, according to God's word. Social change, political change, financial change. In some countries, there is a spiritual change. In nations where there was a national religion, under the name of least of Christianity, the lethargy that has set in socially has made it almost impossible for the new missionary or the old missionary to go out and begin to preach the gospel. First of all, he must spend valuable time winning the confidence of these people because they have absolutely no interest in spiritual things. The message comes back from them, brethren, pray for us. But my burden this afternoon, beloved, and I fought against this. I did not want to speak on this subject. But I was unable to shake the subject. For my burden this afternoon is for the winds of change that are blowing across our assembly lives. The winds of change are wafting in upon us with the most subtle suggestions. We have heard our brethren, both on the panel and from this lectern, speak of the importance of the Word of God. But the winds of change are bringing suggestions and new words to us that are quite different from those that we've been hearing through the years. We are being told that we are majoring on minors. We are being told that there are non-essentials in the Word of God. We are being told that there are matters that are secondary. We are being told that there are unimportant things. My question this afternoon is which of us would like to stand before the throne of God? Thank him for his holy word and yet suggest to him that the Spirit of God gave us too much Bible trivia. Unimportant, non-essentials. This is the plenary Word of God. This is the infallible Word of God. This is the word of God, Spirit-breathed. And it has an answer for everything. And there's nothing in it unimportant. Our brother said a few minutes ago, sometimes we're looking and cannot find a verse of Scripture to cover certain situations. There is an all-inclusive word in the Holy Scriptures that covers every situation. The apostle is writing to the Hebrews, and he's speaking of certain things that had occurred. And he cries out to them, but I am persuaded better things of you and the things that accompany salvation. That's all inclusive. If it doesn't honor God, leave it alone. If it doesn't edify his people, leave it alone. We are also finding suggestions wafting across the changing winds that what we need is structured worship. We need a committee in each of our assemblies to choose a subject for tomorrow morning, a theme for the gathering of God's people. Hymns would be picked out appropriate enough ahead of time. People would be designated to take part publicly, carrying through the main theme. And above all, it must be accompanied by live music. My question is, to what position do we relegate the Spirit of God? The winds of change are suggesting that in place of, or in addition to, elders, what we need is hired administrators. At what point we rule out the Spirit of God, again, I do not know. You, dear ladies, you're the backbone of our assemblies. And the winds of change are blowing, and they're suggesting that you've been under a cloud, that you have not been given your proper place, and suggestions are being made. I will tell you of one suggestion. And this is not a figment of my imagination. Don't go away from here and say that George Sharp must be on marijuana. I tell you the truth, this suggestion has been made. If you, dear sisters, would like to gather tomorrow morning at the Lord's Supper, and you do not wish to take public part, you may not cover your head. But if you wish to give out a hymn, or rise to your feet in prayer and thanksgiving and praise, you must cover your head. I have not, in my 78 years, heard any more distortion of the Word of God than that. it's even being suggested that there is a difference between the common layman and the seminary graduate. Oh, you're against education, are you? No. If I have one regret, beloved in Christ, in my life, if I have one regret, it's that I did not get a formal education. And I admire those that have received it. It does not qualify for spirituality. It is being suggested that we bring in amongst us full-time workers. Oh, you're against full-time workers. No. I look over this audience and I see men that I have revered and honored and prayed for down through the years of full-time workers. They're not moving in to take over the things that we don't want to do. Worldliness. What in the world is worldliness? It's settling down in this old world and becoming so comfortable in it that we'll hire somebody else to carry on our spiritual exercises. It's much like the man who said that he was fully aware that jogging was a good thing for your health, but he had difficulty finding somebody to do it for him. Worldliness, settling down in it, and being so comfortable. Oh, you're against comfort. No, I was built for comfort. Not for speed. But when we become so comfortable, as it was pointed out this morning, that the things that we possess us, then we're in difficulty. Someone says, you're against change. No, I'm not against change. I introduced and supported one of the major changes in the order of services here in New Jersey. But I am deadly opposed to changing the Word of God. Yes, worldliness is settling down in it so that we're too comfortable in it. We like to turn it over to somebody else. Have you seen those ads for the potential retirees? There's a beautiful lady there with a tennis racket in her hand. There's a handsome man there with graying hair with a golf bag on his hand and his arm. In the background is a beautiful lake with boats and fishermen. As though when you retire, there's nothing to do. There's nothing to do. That's worldliness. The world promotes this. And we fall into the thinking of the world, and we're willing to pay for somebody else to carry out our spiritual exercises. Worldliness is imitating the world to be just like it. Israel said to Samuel, "Give us a king like the other nations." We're afraid to stand on the distinctives of the Word of God with regard to church fellowship. And we want to be like everybody else. A lady took her daughter to the store one day to buy her some new clothes. Their choices were quite different. And finally the mother said, "Why do you want to dress like that?" And she said, "Oh, Mom, I want to be different like all the other girls." Yeah, we want to be different like everybody else. Yes, worldliness is to imitate it, to be like it, settle down in it, and to the comfort of ourselves, and to be occupied with it. Daniel and his three friends were taken into captivity. The Babylonians set out immediately to change them. There were no distinctives left if the Babylonians had had their way. First, they changed their names so that they would sound like Babylonians when they were called. Then they undoubtedly changed their language so that they would talk like Babylonians. They changed their attire, I'm sure, so that they looked like Babylonians. And they changed their diet. They wanted to change their diet so that they would reflect the Babylonian era. Brethren, I am not opposed to change, as long as that change magnifies God and adheres to the Word of God. Or someone says, "Then you're satisfied with the status quo." No, I am not satisfied with the status quo. And I dare to suggest that not one person in this room would stand as representative of their assembly and say, "We're satisfied with the status quo in ours." We need, every one of us, personally and as assemblies, we need recovery, revival, renewal. Call it what you like. We need it. And the answer is very simple. It's found in the book of Malachi. When God, through the prophet, said, "If you return to me, I'll return to you." It's that simple. What we need to do is to get down before God. Confess our lethargy. Confess our satisfaction with the things that surround us. And cry to God for a new vision of the souls that are dying around us. Cry to God for the impetus to display true religion and undefiled, visiting the fatherless and the widows, visiting the sick, visiting in homes where you can open up the Word of God. God will revive us. He has promised. "If you return to me, I'll return to you." Brethren, sisters, I say this with a heart of love for the assemblies with which I have been associated for a number of decades, for the assemblies that I wish to see prosper in this area. And I would like to throw out one last suggestion to all of us. First of all, you pick up your handbook in the morning and pray for the missionaries. Their cry is constant. "Pray for us, pray for us, pray for us." You heard it today from my brother. secondly, that you begin to pray, not only for the elders of your assembly, but for the people in it. And then think of the assemblies that are surrounding you, the three or four nearby. And then spread out. Let God enlarge your coasts and pray for all of the assemblies in your particular area. God will honor it. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes people. We need to pray. I wondered if perhaps we'd be well off to turn things around. And we write to the missionary and cry to them, "Brethren, pray for us." The winds of change are blowing, brethren. Let's change that which needs changing, and honoring to God and to His precious word. And let's give up our attitude of worldliness for His name's sake.